I wonder what feelings come to mind when you hear the words of that first verse of Hebrews 11. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. What comes to mind? I have to admit to you that when I read these words, there's something in me that almost recoils from them, that resists them, that wants to gag. And I've spent the week trying to figure out why I've been having this kind of reaction. And what comes to me is this, that when I read these words, I'm hearing them in the back of my mind being spoken by a conservative Christian fundamentalist, just speaking them with such matter-of-factness. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Any questions? Good, let's go on. Now, just that matter of factness. Maybe it reminds me of the fellowship group that I was a part of when I was back in college in the early 1970s, when I was young and not foolish enough. But actually, this was a group that was a very important part of my life and contributed a lot to my spiritual formation. But it's a group that I theologically outgrew very quickly, and I suspect a lot of the people in the group as well. But I can remember Saturday mornings when we would meet together in the chapel, sitting around in a circle, doing a Bible study and following this curriculum that we had. And the curriculum was set up in a question and answer format. And I can just picture this kind of question in one of those chapters. Question, what is faith? Hebrews 11, 1. And whosoever turn it was would open up the Bible and read Hebrews 11, 1, and we'd all write down, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and we'd go on to the next question, as though we had answered it. There's an expression that a lot of evangelicals are fond of using. It goes something like this: God said it in the Bible, I believe it in my heart, that settles it. And again, it's this sense of faith being a matter of settled knowledge that rubs me the wrong way, because faith is not about being settled. Faith is about the grace of God coming in and unsettling us where we are settled, so that our minds and our hearts can perceive the wonder and the mystery that is God. If you were to ask a lot of people to tell you about their experience of faith, I think you would hear an amazing diversity of experiences. If you talk to an artist, for example, you might hear about the artist's path. A woman named Julia Cameron, who wrote a book called The Artist's Way, and she said, whenever you start to explore your own creativity, whenever you open yourself up to your own creativity, you are opening yourself up to God. And if any of you are artists, or if any of you can appreciate art, I think you have a hint of what she's talking about. There's something about sitting down with a notebook and a pen and starting to write poetry, or sitting down with watercolor paper and paints and starting to do a painting, or sitting down at a keyboard and writing a melody. Something about listening to an organ performance of the Bach Toccata and Fugue in D that just takes you out of ordinary time and puts you in a special kind of place where you are transported. And it's amazing when you are engaged in the creative process that what can come out of our hearts, what can come out of our hands, is more staggering than anything we thought possible sometimes. When we get deep within and engage our creative soul, we are getting in touch with an infinite God. And that's one experience of what faith is like. Other people might tell you that for them, faith is a matter of being engaged in the inward journey, coming to know themselves, the way their souls respond, the way they react, the way they interrelate with other people. Have you ever heard the story of the Buddha? He was born in about the 6th century BCE, the son of a very wealthy and powerful family. His father was the king. And the father was told when his son was still a very young child by a seer that his child would grow up to become a great man, either a great ruler or a great spiritual leader. And naturally, his father wanted his son to grow up in his own image, to become a great, wealthy, powerful king. And so he did everything in his power to kind of dissuade his son from following a spiritual path in life. And the way he did this was he tried to insulate his son from having any experience of unpleasantness. Just prevented him from seeing ugliness, prevented him from seeing poverty, prevented him from seeing illness, prevented him from encountering pain and suffering in the world. But when his son was about 29 years old, he was on a journey across India. He happened to see an elderly, crippled man. The first time he had ever encountered suffering and unpleasantness. And it started him down the path of exploring his own spirituality. And as that seer had foreseen, he became a great spiritual leader. And one day he was asked by somebody who was impressed by his spiritual wisdom, "Who are you? Are you a god?" And he answered, "No, I am not a god. I am awake." And that's the translation of the word Buddha. It means, "I am awake." And if you had asked the Buddha what faith meant to him, what the experience of faith was like, he would say it is a matter of being awake, a matter of being alive, a matter of being present to what you are feeling and to what others are feeling. Other people experience faith as a part of the struggle for social justice. And I'm sure that we could come up with the names of dozens of women and men who in our experience are individuals who have been involved in working to create a more just society and a more equitable world. If you were to ask, say, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who perhaps was one of the greatest social activists of the 20th century, what the experience of faith was like for him, Dr. King might have answered with words similar to the famous ones he spoke from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. "I have a dream that someday this nation will rise up and live out the full meaning of its creed." For Dr. King, faith was a matter of seeing the world as it is with absolute clarity, without kidding ourselves, without being cynical about it, and also seeing the possibility of a world in which our ideals are realized without being utopian about it. And then living very intentionally and purposefully in the present to try to bring our ideals into reality. All of these kinds of spiritual paths, the artist's way, the inward journey, the search for social justice, are experiences of faith that do not have certainty. They reject ordinary vision. The artist finds within herself a different kind of vision. The inward seeker finds within herself or himself the capacity to open one's heart to suffering and find that we are not hurt in that process, but that we can transcend suffering. And a social activist rejects the common sense that all we'll ever have in this world is what we can see, and we just have to live with injustice. Faith is about discovering something other than an ordinary kind of vision. A number of years ago, my son Joshua and I went on a vacation in Jamaica after Christmas. Some other members of my family were there, and we went to Jamaica and we spent a week with them, and it was a great week. But ironically, the part of that trip that I still remember the best was the last night. The night before I had to fly back to California. And often it is the case with me that the night before a long trip, I have trouble falling asleep. My mind just keeps going over all the things I have to remember. Do I know where my tickets are? Do I know where my passport is? Do I know where Josh's passport is? Will we get to the airport in time? Will we make it to security? Is customs in Miami going to prevent us from making our connection to go on to San Francisco? My mind just fixated on all the stuff I had to do the next day, and I couldn't relax, and I couldn't fall asleep. Maybe I got a couple of hours of rest that night, I don't know. But around about 4 o'clock in the morning, I decided to stop fighting my sleeplessness. And instead, I just got up and I walked outside the room. And I sat down on a plastic chair on the little patio. And I just started looking out into the silence, into the darkness. It was a very dark night. The moon had already set. There weren't a lot of lights around. I just sat and looked into the darkness, and slowly my eyes became acclimated. It's amazing how much you could see in near darkness. You could see where the trees were. I could look out over the sea, over the Caribbean Sea, and far out at sea, I could see little lights moving slowly across the horizon, ships passing in the night. And off to the east, 15 or 20 miles, I could see the lights of the city of Montego Bay. Then I looked up above the horizon, up into the sky, and I could see the thousands upon thousands of stars. And I just took it all in, and my mind started wondering about it. I realized how far away those stars were. The light from some of them took hundreds of years to reach the Earth, traveling at 186,000 miles a second. My mind began to just marvel at the vastness of time and space. And then as dawn approached, the slightest hint of a glow began to appear over the eastern horizon, and that glow got brighter and brighter until I could see the outlines of the trees, and I could see the shape of the mountains in the center of the island. And then the sun peaked its head above the horizon, and the morning light began flooding the scene. You could see everything with brilliant clarity, all the colors, all the vividness. You could see great detail. I could see the texture of the bark on the trees. I could see the shape of the different kinds of leaves. I could see the birds singing in the trees and the fruit hanging from the boughs. I could see in the lawn the individual green blades of grass and the drops of dew glistening in the sun. I could see all the different kinds of flowers, the different colored petals. I could even see little insects crawling up and down the stalks, the stems. I could see all of this in brilliant clarity, but it occurred to me that there was something I could no longer see. I could no longer see the ships passing in the night, far out on the horizon. I could no longer see the light of the stars that had traveled for hundreds of years to reach the Earth. The difference between what you can see in the clear, bright light of the morning And in the darkness of the pre-dawn hours is the difference between ordinary vision and faith. Faith is not knowing things with absolute certainty. And faith is not seeing things with absolute clarity. Faith is the willingness to sit in the darkness. The willingness to sit with the darkness until our eyes become acclimated and the darkness can begin to reveal to us the wonder of creation and the mystery of a God whom our minds cannot even begin to understand and whom our language cannot describe. Faith is being open to the mystery of life. Amen.